All right, we are back. Season two of The Gray Matter starts right now. We're coming in hot, ready to discuss all of the hot topics and headlines from today from a black man's perspective. We appreciate that we are not all a monolith and every subject deserves to be explored with nuance, giving a view from all sides of the culture. So we're going to do that for you every week. Starting right now, our panel consists of three guys that are absolutely nothing alike. And you'll find out, if you didn't already in season one, just how much we love each other in spite of our sometimes very big differences. I'm Billy Craig, coming to you from sunny Delaware. And I'm joined by Dewey and Louie. Dewey is out in Nashville, or somewhere around Nashville in parts. And Louie... joining us from out in the Great West, out near Portland somewhere. I'm not going to give you their addresses. I don't want you finding them.
Appreciate it.
Harassing them, toilet paper in the houses and flattening tires and whatnot.
You can give them your address to the church, though.
Why would you do that? See what you're doing? Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Come on.
Ain't you trying to grow the congregation?
Yeah. Come on in. We were just praying.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Yeah.
But so anyway, how you doing, Paul?
I'm good. Well, how about yourself?
I'm hanging in there. You, Andre?
Hey, I'm good. I'm ready to get this thing started.
Let's get it then. What you got?
So recently, the last couple of weeks, but it's been a reoccurring theme. Violence and guns and America and their love of guns and the excuses that we have surrounding why we can't do anything about it. So, you know, we had the shooting in Nashville at the school. We had the shooting in the bank in Louisville. We got a little black kid who knocked on the wrong door, got shot. We got cheerleaders who got in the wrong car, got shot. Like, all this is going on actively, and we're not even factoring in Chicago and just the regular daily crimes that, you know, and murders that we have from that. So I want to flush this out and see what we're talking about here. So we'll start with just a simple question. Like, do we have a gun problem in America? And we'll start with a good pastor on this one, since the Bible talks about having weapons that won't prosper, even though they prospering right now.
These streets.
Well, let me just tell you, you know, Paul out here trying to give you the address to the church. Let me just say this. Weapons form will prosper. Okay. Out here. But with that being said, I'm going to take the position, honestly, that no, I honestly don't believe. Well, let me just say it like this. I believe that the question, there's some nuance to it, as most questions like that are. They're not as black and white as we would like, but I'll say this. I don't think we have a gun problem as much as we have an entitlement problem. And I've actually said that in the past. And what I mean by that is this. You have to want to take somebody's life to shoot a gun. I carry a gun all the time, and I'm angry all the time. Like, I'm angry right now, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't want, I mean, I'm angry.
You're the Incredible Hulk. Yep.
Listen, I
know how to get him a 10.
Okay, don't do it. Don't do it.
All you got to do is talk about the best quarterbacks in the AFC.
See how we do? See how we do? But here's the thing. What I'm saying is, you have to actually have a desire to take a person's life. And the reason why I say it's entitlement is because I feel like sometimes people feel like they have the right to basically, you know, take somebody's life and put their life in jeopardy just because they feel a certain way. They feel like they should be able to just do whatever they want to do. And so, you know, even in the different examples that you gave, like somebody ringing your doorbell, and it's funny because I posted this, last week, I was like, so with Amazon, Uber Eats, DoorDash, FedEx, and UPS, people dropping off boxes all, and sometimes like even late. Like, you mean to tell me you're shooting somebody through a door because they accidentally rang your doorbell and it was the wrong house? Or somebody pulls up in the driveway and they just, they're like, they didn't even get out. They're just turning around. The problem is, and even like when you talk about the school shootings, like, you know, none of those kids did anything to you. You, but you feel like you have the right because you're hurting, because you're angry, because you're aggrieved, or because you don't like something. You feel like you have the right to take a life. Like, I feel like there are plenty of people walking around here, especially like where I live in Delaware. Like, Delaware is a place where people walk around with guns all the time, but you know, it's not nearly as tensed up because people aren't walking around here. I mean, for the most part anyway. And I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I pray every day because I mean, I have to send my kids to school, but it's like, what makes you think you have the right to take a life just because you were offended or because you don't like somebody? So, and I could go a little further than that. I want to give you guys a chance, obviously, but I just feel like people feel entitled to take matters into their own hands when the fact of the matter is life is final. When I blow, you know, a hole in your chest or, you know, riddle you with bullets and you die, that's it. I don't have the right to just take somebody's life just because I'm offended. Now, if you're threatening me, you're threatening my person, you're threatening my home, you're threatening my family, well, obviously that's something different. And I frankly feel like everybody's making a big political deal about it, about the laws. I don't feel like, frankly, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with the laws. The laws are pretty clear. Even if you go from state to state, there are certain states that are a little more strict and rigid than others. But generally speaking, it's real simple. Regardless of what the law is,
actually tend to have more gun violence than yes, the states that have the looser laws.
I was so just talking. Yeah. And that's my point is that even though it goes state to state, I was just talking to one of the brothers at church yesterday. He's from New York City. He's originally from Long Island. And New York City, all five boroughs, it's like, you better not even spell gun. Mm-hmm. And yet they have tons of gun violence. And the point is, the laws themselves are not, this is not a political answer. This is a whole anger, rage. I feel entitled. I don't want a black person in my driveway knocking on my door. I don't like the fact that this person got something that I don't have. Like, that whole mentality is just, it's sick. And there's no law that's going to fix that. You just need to accept the fact that you're messed up in the head if you really want to take somebody's life over something like that. And I got more, but that's I'm going to leave it there for now.
Well, what say you, West Coaster?
Times are hard and people are scared.
Yeah.
Money is scarce. I mean, there's so many people getting shot out here in Portland every day, bro. It just go down. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and then you have to have the conversation with yourself, do I even carry my gun? Because what, you know, like, what's gonna happen if I get into it at Target? You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to think about the ramifications on that end too. It's a whole bunch of different things, moving parts at play, and times are hard and people are scared.
And I get that. For me, and I guess where I struggle with it is that what we are currently doing is not working.
No.
And they've made it. I mean, and the GOP is really good about this, I won't even blame it just on GOP. Politicians are really good about deflecting the issue itself to make something that's non-political political. Mm-hmm. Gun violence and paperwork to fill out a gun and who should be able to have a gun really shouldn't be a political issue, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So like, having a driver's license.
Right. That's not, I mean, are you qualified or are you not qualified? Did you take a class or did you not take a class? Like, I mean, I think that's, you know, they keep throwing up Second Amendments. I bless you on the West Coast and bless you on the East Coast, but I'm in the South with an F. And we love some guns down here.
Love them out here.
But the South is,
it's ball game. Culturally, it's different.
Yeah, it's religion, guns, and football. Like, that's what we got. Like, and you can figure out which order you want to put them in, because sometimes they all intersect here. But you know, to have, you know, people arguing over whether you should be able to fill out paperwork, what questions you should be able to ask on whether somebody should be able to have a gun, that's stupid to me. Like, and to make that a political issue just because you want to try to get a debt ceiling raised or something like that, that's childish. That's super childish and super petty. And all the while, people like are literally losing lives. Like the amount of phone calls that we receive, because my children go to a private school, and though we don't live in Nashville, most people don't, it can't differentiate like the different towns in Nashville or surrounding it.
So it's easier to just say Nashville.
Just say Nashville. Yeah, you
close. So we easily got 100 calls in messages of people just like, are your kids okay? And, and you know, thankfully and blessed that that wasn't our school, but unfortunately it was somebody else's. And that's somebody else's child. And that was somebody's father, you know, and stuff like that. They got murdered. And it's wild how, you know, we remove politicians from, you know, their seat because they side with the people that we need to do something about gun violence. And it's really, it's a scary time. I definitely agree with you there, Paul, that it's a scary time. And, but we're not looking, like, I would expect this to be from robberies, you know, where like we turned into some purge, you know, type things where it's like, okay, kid got to eat. I ain't got no money. Let me go ahead and stick somebody up. But that, I mean, we have that, but that ain't never changed. That portion of America has never changed. It's always been stick up kids, at least since I've been born. And I'm assuming before then too. But we at a point now where like a girl got into a wrong car on mistake and got fired off on immediately. Like what?
And not immediately. She got out of the car, like, oops, got into her car. And then when the dude got out of his car and walked over there, she rolled down the window and apologized and said, I thought that was my car.
Yep.
And he shot her and she just shot.
I was just getting ready to say, I literally can't tell you how many times I wasn't paying attention and walked up to a car that looked identical to mine because it was generally the same model, same color kind of thing. And I just pulled the door. I'm like, wait a minute, this ain't my car. My car ain't never been this clean. Like, you know, because I got junk all in my. Here's the thing, and I'm just going to go ahead and torpedo my 2034 presidential campaign right now. Okay. I'm just going to go ahead and throw it in the trash right now because the internet is forever. But I'm going to say this. If you look at actual crime statistics, and I'm talking across the board, whenever you find violent crimes, thefts, murders, assaults, rapes, whatever, literally whatever category you find, almost always they are fairly equal, no matter what category you choose, amongst communities, right? So where you have, for example, you know, murder rate, that's why the whole black on black crime is such a misnomer and it's annoying because actually the crime rate is consistent in the white community, whether it's Asian, Hispanic, whatever. It's always
crime is a phenomenon of proximity.
There you go. Proximity. However, the only thing, and this is the problem that I have with the gun conversation, everybody knows the elephant in the room is that this is a white boy problem. Not because. Wait a minute. I'm not saying that all of them are. I'm saying if the predominant number of gun murders were black men, they would have no problem criminalizing just black men. If it were Hispanic men, then if it were people who were immigrant, like it wouldn't just be a boogeyman like hoax. They would literally, I mean, we've seen it throughout American history.
Yeah.
They literally put people in concentration camps back in World War II because if you were Japanese, they were like, nah, you go over here. We have I've no seen problem them. In this.
I lived in Salt Lake City.
Exactly. So literally, you know, we don't have a problem with that. The problem is nobody's going to criminalize white men. And I'm not even advocating that we should criminalize white men. What I'm saying is we're dancing around the issue. That's why I said it's an issue of entitlement, because once we can actually say the vast majority of these school shootings, bank shootings, they're blasting up in Louisville. Actually, right before we went there for spring break to go visit my in-laws, they had two of them. when it happens, let's be honest. We already know what the profile is. We're actually surprised when we find out, oh, actually, that big mass shooting. So you mean to tell me he wasn't a white man? He wasn't some young, aggrieved, frustrated white guy, some old guy who's been sitting around listening to conspiracy theories for the past 20 years. You know, we're actually surprised when they don't fit that profile, and yet we won't address it because, let's face it, this country is still run and dominated by men who actually look and fit the profile. The judges, the legislators, all the people who are in charge and in control, the sheriffs, they are all white men, and they look and they see their son, or they see their uncle, or they see their cousin, or their best friend from high school, or their neighbor, and they're unwilling to call it what it is. You have a grievance problem that is leading to a lot of this stuff. Outside of that, like Chicago, that's why Chicago is different, because this is, they know who they're shooting. Well, they know exactly who they're shooting.
Why ain't that? Them kids, when they shoot up the school, they know who they're shooting.
They don't know
so,
the people.
So what? See, here's why I get off the bus on that. Mm-hmm. Because for so long, we desensitized Black people to mass shootings. You know, we called them drive-bys. Yeah,
absolutely.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
So
yeah.
Now they mass shootings when white folks is getting hit. But they was drive-bys when our kids was getting shot up playing in the yard.
It's the same reason why we have the epidemic now with fentanyl. Right.
Yes. Or no. Exactly.
The epidemic, well, this epidemic. It changed from. It went from what?
When it was Black people
to heroin. Yeah, to
heroin. To, there you go. And my point is, when the crack epidemic was ravaging, you know, the inner cities, the urban America, which was, you know, the nice way of saying the Black community, it was kind of like, oh, okay, you know, they just can't get off crack. They just can't stop using. They're just pitiful and it's just terrible. But now. That is
they
affecting.
Did that to get white folks to move to the suburbs.
Okay. Now, but that's the point. Now it is not even stopping at the suburbs, right? You got
because
suburban
now they
families.
Took the city back and they pushed the crack to the suburbs.
There you go. And well, so, but it's bleeding out.
It's a shell game.
Hit more people. Yeah.
Quick fun fact: since we brought it up, the main users of crack were white people. But go ahead. Keep going.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, and we know that.
The main dealers of crack were Black people. And then once they figured out they were getting rich, then that's where the law started coming into place is, hey, if you got even two rocks of crack on you, you got to go to jail for 15 years. We're doing mandatory mm-hmm. minimums and all that. It wasn't about the use because mm-hmm. white people was driving into D.C. to get the crack.
Yeah.
They was hitting you with them trafficking charges, and giving you football numbers for little stuff.
Yep.
But if you were just sold powder, you was going to jail for 3 to 5. Mm-hmm. But if you had rocks, like he said, you was going to jail for 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm. You wasn't even looking at parole until mm-hmm. what, year 4 or something, 5 or something like that. Like you couldn't even sniff, you know, the parole board. And that's all I'm saying is I feel like.
I
understand there's nuance to it, but my point is just like with the drug sentencing or the use, nobody wants to call it for what it is. We dance around the frankly, the hard part, and it's not hard to understand. We can all do math, right? We can all solve problems. The problem is when it lands at our doorstep, it's kind of like, and I'm you know, just putting myself out there, it's frankly what bothers me about the church. A lot, and I'm saying the church in the broad general sense, not a specific congregation. But the problem is, it's like you won't clean up your own mess. And so these politicians, to Andre's point, these politicians will not address and deal with cleaning up their own mess. This is your son. This is your nephew. This is your dad. This is your uncle who's going in here blowing up elementary schools and high schools and banks and walking into gay nightclubs. This is not us. Nobody's listening to me. I don't care how long I preach. They're not listening to me. On the flip side, with the church, it's the same thing. It's like, clean up your mess. There has to be accountability that we as a church have to be willing to take on ourselves, because it's not enough to just say, well, all those heathens just don't want to hear it. No, it's got nothing to do with the heathens don't want to hear it. You're actually setting a poor example because you won't even hold your own people accountable. And that's where I
forgot about
land
the
on.
Folks in Michigan. You forgot about the folks in Michigan where the kid shot up the school and the parents actually went on the run with the kid or something like that.
Right.
That's the opposite of accountability. That's literally the direct opposite.
Like,
right.
But the thing is, and we touched on it, but the let's go ahead. I mean, we in season two, right? Mm-hmm. And we bringing heat.
I told you, I walked in here, man.
Okay. Like, all right. So the fragility of white male tears is outstanding on this one. The pandering to white men, because they've done this whole fear factor thing of we losing the country. Who are you losing it to? Like, you still in charge of everything. Like, regardless of how you want to, you toss us a couple bones. But at the end of the day, like Paul said, and I'm going to go ahead and expound on this, it didn't become a problem until white kids started getting killed. You don't ever see a march when 100 people get shot over 4th of July weekend in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Or you might have a little bit of march. You might have 30 black people marching, but the city ain't on fire. Nope. We had 6 people killed. Five of them were white, I'm sorry, in Nashville, and a whole city showed out to downtown to march on Congress. And the fact is that it's just like the drug epidemic. Nobody cared when it was black people doing it to black people or when black people are dying. Mm-hmm. When white people, like, police brutality is not going to change until a cop kills a white person, like on national television for everybody.
It don't change. I lived in Salt Lake. They don't care. Nope. They don't care.
And even with that don't care that Paul's saying, like, it's beyond don't care. They actually don't mind. They actually encourage it. And here's what I mean. Like, this is the other elephant in the room. The room.
They trust the police.
Not only do they trust the police, they want the police to carry on the way that they have been. And the reason why is because the way that for centuries, white men have maintained power politically and socially and otherwise in this country has been by fear. That's why the KKK worked. That's why it was intimidation and fear. And so actually, if, you know, a handful of white kids get shot up in a school, you know what? That's just the price of keeping control. It's like collateral damage. I don't mind because it keeps people in fear. Everybody's running around here on every television talking about, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, I mean, nothing, as long as the police are in on it and as long as they don't care, because what they want to do is keep us in fear. That, I mean, you know, I don't feel like going to a history lesson, but that's what we find with the Black Panthers. The reason why the Black Panthers became issue number one for the FBI had everything to do with the fact that the Black Panthers were arming people based on what their rights as citizens were. So you had black people with guns. Same thing with the Crips. They weren't doing anything illegal by having a gun. It wasn't like you're a convicted felon in a state where you, if as a convicted felon, you weren't allowed to have it. They were registering for guns legally. They were using them legally. They weren't shooting up everything. But the point was, people don't understand the power of fear. And that's where, you know, I tell people all the time.
And if you notice, the gun laws in California are way different.
Absolutely. It's not Tennessee, right?
No,
you know, walking through Los Angeles with a gun is totally different than walking through Murfreesboro with a gun. Right. Like, it is not going to be the same.
Or Utah. You're not going to get the same. Or Oregon. Or Utah, or Washington.
Or Delaware, right? You know, it's totally different. Mm-hmm. And I just became, that's part of the reason why I am where I am, where I live. For that reason, I don't want those problems. And I'm a peaceful man until I'm not. You know, because you're not going to, you know, come from my house, my family, my kids, mm-hmm. my person. But at the same time, I go back to where I began. It's like, you have to want to take a life to go take a life.
Right.
You got to want to. Like, there has to be something in you. And I feel like that aggrieved, entitled mentality is what breeds this. And there's nobody more entitled and more aggrieved, especially in our current climate in this country, than white men.
Current.
Well,
country's built on that, bro.
I know. Well, obviously, like, I'm talking about
designed and built on that.
I'm only saying that the spike in these mass shootings are directly like somebody walked up to the oven and turned it from 350 to 425. They've heated it up with a lot of this. You're losing the country. You've never been losing the country.
They want to privatize education and eliminate competition in the marketplace. You got to think bigger.
So they allow it. So they literally, they're literally saying, I'll allow it.
Because
sorry about your loss.
Eventually, these scary people are going to vote down public schools. And then there go sports, arts, you know, music, all of these things.
STEM. And that's why Paul is here, because there's always got to be a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy.
That's not a conspiracy. That's just a long road, bro.
I'm messing with you, man. No. I'm messing with you.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, that's the thing. Like you said, the long game very often gets missed. There's a
and
long
it's not even is. Racial at this point. It's rich versus poor.
Yeah, absolutely.
They put it on the news to make us fight against each other.
Get intense.
But the war is on everybody. Yeah. Right. Salt Lake, living in Salt Lake, really opened my eyes to that. The stuff they do, the way they treat poor white people is the way they treat poor black people.
Mm-hmm. We want
you poor white folks walk around like they better than the poor black people. That's the actual problem.
Which is not new. And that's why they, you know, because you start talking about why they killed King and different ones. And so that's exactly what it was. He was like, you do realize you broke too. Like, I got more money than you.
But it's marketing. You know, it's the media. I mean, we call it the media, but essentially it's marketing.
Propaganda.
Yes.
Programming. Propaganda. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, when we talk about welfare and things like that, we the face of welfare, even though more white people on welfare than black people, like as far as percentages and things like that.
Yeah.
Talk about joblessness, and they post up white people are having a hard time getting jobs when the black, you know, job rate has been suffering for since the beginning of time. And so it's just about right. So it's just about, I mean, they're really, really good at marketing this thing. And so,
well, you should be. You own all the outlets. And all the markets, like you own NBC, Fox,
and then we got CBS, we losing the country, so we need more population, so therefore pushing through abortion now. We're like it's all kind of like weird, like long game things that's going on behind fear, like you said,
right.
The gun thing, as far as I'm concerned, can be summed up what we just said: entitlement and fear.
Well, think about this. If they're going to remove abortion, they're never going to do anything about guns, because they're going to figure we're going to have more people anyway.
Chess, not checkers, is basically what I'm getting out of this is the game. But yeah, I mean, I don't know where we go from this other than just to keep status quo.
I know where I'm going. Well, later on today, I'm going to the range to practice.
Well, you know, in the great words of the urban philosopher Christopher Wallace, it's going to be a lot of slow slinging and flower bringing. If my bird alarm starts
ringing.
I still got one good eye, and that's the one I'm using. I'm
like, I got a little friend that'll clear out the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not aiming for accuracy. I'm clearing the room. Better bring company.
Listen,
because if you by yourself, you it's not gonna be good for you.
My wife is 5'3", my son is 5'5". You better be shorter than them. I mean, I'm just being honest. That's how when I trained, they were like, listen, you need to know how the heights and the angles in your home. Literally, like, you need to know your hallways, the depth, the distance.
Yeah.
That's how I train. Because at the end of the day, I ain't got time to be turning lights on and let me see your ID. No, I'm going for your silhouette, your height, all that. Mm-hmm. I tell my kids, no. You hear some popping and banging and stuff, you better get under your bed.
Get under your bed. Yep.
Get under your bed. Or tuck down in that closet or
get
something.
Under your, matter of fact, get your phone, get under your bed, and call 911.
Right now. Yep. Right now. That's the first thing. Don't come out
you
the door.
Yeah, you got some news to report.
You're calling for backup.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Tell them the preacher's under attack.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to be like Malcolm X's daddy. Take these here bullets for them there bed sheets now.
No.
All right, but I was going to say, so let's go ahead and put a ribbon on this and then hit our APBs.
Right.
Before I incriminate myself anymore.
Right. I'm about to say, because now they done paid attention to us. They got our three faces on the blotter now. So let's go ahead.
We done dressed in black.
Like, let me smile for him. Like, jeez.
Right. All I know is it's a game till it ain't. That's right. That's what we call it.
I don't want no problems. Nope. I'm just a little league baseball fan. That's it.
Right. I'm just a coach.
Don't pay me.
I need there to be a little more investigation. Let's just call it that. A little more investigation into the people who actually decided not just that I'm going to throw out the two brothers in Tennessee in the state legislature that were in there speaking for the people, fighting for the people, really having a problem with this gun conversation. Not even necessarily offer, and I understand doing the research that they have actually offered legislation that hasn't even been allowed to be spoken of, much less brought to the floor. But I need somebody to answer, because we kind of brushed this to the side in the media and just moved on. I need there to be a little bit of investigation on how is it that the white lady that was with the two brothers managed to not get voted out. We all know that happened.
And so they just voted her out. They reinstated her.
No. That's just it. She didn't get voted out.
Okay.
They never got voted out. I got it mixed up then.
Okay.
Right. And here's my thing. I need to know how, because everybody was like, oh, that's so blatantly racist. Well, yeah, exactly. And I need people to, like, you know, because we're so quick to be outraged as a society. Man, forget being outraged. Do something. Your representative in your county literally voted out two young black men and left a white lady in her seat in the state legislature. And everybody just kind of moved on because, yeah, well, they brought him back. And I don't know if it was the mayor or the city council, whoever is responsible for reappointing them, both in Nashville and Memphis, they put them back into their seats. But my APB, I'm literally walking around like, you know, flashlight cop. I need to see why is there nothing being done to figure out, like, why are we asking questions? Why isn't the news media, right, all of the papers, all the bloggers out there, why aren't you actually asking the hard questions, more hard questions, to these legislators that decided we're going to make an example of the two black men? And you did nothing about the white woman who was actually sitting right there. Like, we have eyes. We saw the pictures. We saw the video. She was there. She herself was like, yeah, I know it has to do with my skin color. And she wasn't saying it in a smug kind of, you know, way. She was just pointing out. She was like, yeah, I know exactly why I survived this vote and they didn't.
No, she literally told her. She said, the only thing I know of is that I'm a white woman. Like, That's it. She even said it. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you on the APB because now we've already, I mean, it's part of this answer is circular because we know why there hasn't been an investigation by the media, and we've already touched on it. White men run the media. It was white men primarily who handled this vote in an open like manner. Like they literally said, so what y'all gonna do about it? And did it and was daring for anybody to face the consequences, and they will never face the consequences for this. And for that, this is one of those things, and I've always said, and since we're bringing heat, let's go ahead and do this. Every few years, as much as we feel like we've made progress, there's always some event that happens to remind us that we're still niggas. Yep. They still want to treat us like niggas, and that's exactly what they did on that moment, because not only did they allow them to be reinstated, but they talked funky to them while they were trying to defend themselves the entire time before they even voted. And then they started fighting amongst each other, like, why are you not voting to get them out? We had an agreement before this whole thing even started. They have that on camera and on tape that they had already decided we're going to get these. The two people who are in the most targeted areas, Memphis and Nashville, have the largest crime problem. But again, it's black people killing each other. So y'all can sit over in the little corner and do y'all little thing, and y'all can introduce stuff, but we're not really going to do anything about that because that's not our problem.
And I'm going to be a little more specific you know, I'm just going to raise the I'm just going to turn the temperature up just a little more. I'm going to be more specific because I love Nashville. I mean, you know, TSU, the land of golden sunshine, you know, the whole nine, my alma mater, how we love thee. Like, I love TSU, right? Like, that's kind of like my home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the Bible Belt. And so I'm going to be more specific with the APB. Like, church, where are you at? Where are you at on this? Because you're watching the blatant racism. You're watching the blatant bigotry that comes with what happened to those young men who were not, they weren't violent. They weren't threatening anyone. It was an actual peaceful protest. And we're not talking about censorship. We're not talking about a vote, something in the record or a reprimand. You literally watched them be kicked out of their seats that they were voted into
mm-hmm.
by their constituents, and you actually made sure to strategically slap the white woman on the wrist but protect her. Church, where are you at? Because when you wonder why the seats are empty in your church, when you wonder why it is that people don't have faith, they don't believe in God, you've given them no reason to believe in God, because God is about justice. And if you don't stand for justice, then how is it possible for you to expect that you can be the voice and the beacon and the representative of God? So it's the Bible Belt. You know, I spent some time in Nashville. So I want y'all, that's my APB, more specific. I need the Bible Belt. I need these churches to be on their neck. I need them to literally come after these white legislators that tried to make an example out of these two young black men unfairly and protected the white lady who literally was right there side by side with him in that protest.
And here's the other kicker is that they gonna show up. And in fairness, they gonna show up to your church
mm-hmm.
Come election time.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
To pander for your vote. So that's you, right. You ain't even gotta go find them. They gonna come to you.
No.
So what you gonna do during that time is really the question. So this is gonna be a long story, and I feel that because it. Where else better to start? When the Bible Belt gonna start Bibling is really what I'm.
Our belt or our belting or something.
Something
like Bible or belt or something. Like yes. So that's my APB. That's all I got. Well, that's it. We like to say thank you for taking the time to join us. It's season two. There's more to come. So definitely, mm-hmm. we look forward to seeing you next week. Same time, be ready. Please feel free to subscribe. Make sure that you follow us on all of our different platforms. And we hope that you have a blessed week. Take care of yourself, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.
Peace.
So a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walk into a bar.
I am my ancestors back from the grave. No longer a slave, beat to the gods, still pray, surviving my day. A threat to society, cause Malcolm showed me the way. I'm young, black, intelligent.
Oh, now they afraid.
It's too late, I am the king, I am the spark to the brain. I am the light that fought the dark and now you're seeing the rain. I am the thing they spent their whole life killing. To find out, I am the rose that grew from under their building. This ain't for life, this is the fight so you can open your mind. Peel the scab back, reveal the blood and see what we'll find.
Promise.
Like LeBron, I am just one of a kind. No longer will I accept the blind, leading the blind. Keep it a buck, say what I want, not giving a screaming after world I talk until the day my heart stops. And when I do, remember when I take my last breath, just remind the tape and witness all the knowledge I left the grave. So I said, a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walk into a bar. The gray matters.